This is the founder of the United Empire, Will Ospreay, the man that has done it all in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to The Wrestle In.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Ohio, konnichiwa, konbanwa, and welcome to Ace Techers. This is the first episode of our new wrestling podcast. We're going to be talking about all things New Japan Pro Wrestling, NJPW, Shin Nihon, yada, yada, yada. I am Kieran RH, and I'm joined by the Dream Team. I've got an all-star cast that's going to be joining me every 2 weeks for this show. First off, Sonal at Wrestling Chat. Sonal, please tell the people where they can find you. Introduce yourself. Let's get this show going.
Hi, I'm Sonal, huge New Japan fan. You can find me at Sonal's Life on YouTube, and I basically talk so much rubbish, so much good stuff just about New Japan. And you can find me on social media, wrestling_chat, where I basically fangirl about New Japan. And also occasionally DDT and Tokyo Joshi as well.
Oh yeah, Tokyo Joshi are awesome. We got Tokyo Joshi podcast. I should plug that whilst we're here straight off the bat. We got NK from Rest Things, the best podcast in the UK. No one can match their energy levels. I love the Rest Things guys. NK, introduce yourself, man.
Yo, people, it's your boy NK, aka the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, aka the Hood's Japanese correspondent, aka the CEO, the president, the commissioner of the TDM Tokyo Dome Merchants. It's a pleasure to be on, man. And yeah, man, you can find me, as Kieran said, on the Wrestling's podcast, man. Every Friday we release an episode, man. So yeah, man, it's a pleasure to be on. It's a pleasure to talk New Japan, you know, with guys that, you know, guys and girls that really love New Japan. So it's a pleasure to be on, man.
Already starting with the digs at Wrestling's boys, yeah, okay. last but definitely not least, SP3, the man himself. If you are tuning into any wrestling content, you've heard this man before, you've seen this man's face. He's everywhere. When he said he wanted to get involved in this, I was like, how do you have the time, bro? But SP3 is here to apply more good content. SP3, introduce yourself to the people, man.
Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your True Hill Phenom, SP3. I'm just glad to be here with some true New Japan fans to talk about New Japan in depth. The reason I became a content creator is because I felt like not too many people were talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling at the peak of what they were doing back 5-6 years ago. So I'm so glad to be on this podcast. I've been wanting to do more with Kieran since I had him over on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel, which is my main home. Like he says, I work a couple of different places. You can see me Fightful Overbooked on Tuesdays. You can see me on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast, sometimes on Wrestle Talk, former Quizzle Mania champion, and I am the new media Forbidden Door. I used to work at hotels, but now I'm working at the Wrestle Inn, and I am here to stay.
Well, that's all the time we've got after all those plugs. We're out of time for this episode from SP3.
That's like a full-on promo. That's like full-on, like going in, like I'm getting everything out there.
Oh, he's a pro. SP3's got us sorted when it comes to professionalism on this podcast. But let's jump into the New Japan. That's what we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're Ace Techers, and we're a couple of days removed from a show that went far better than I think any of us expected. New Japan versus Noah, Yokohama Arena. Last year was a bit of a letdown. Multi-man tag matches perhaps wasn't worth the pay-per-view buy, but damn, this year it was awesome. We'll go through the card top to bottom. An opening Young Lions match, kind of your stereotypical stuff. Then Tomohiro Ishii gets involved, and the main card kicks off in true fashion, and you get the mix-up of the Noah and New Japan guys. You've got Sugiura and Kojima, Yano and Tanahashi on one side, picking up the win over Gedo, El Fantasmo, Kenta, and Naomichi Marufuji. And Marufuji refusing to throw up the two sweet. He's not about that Bullet Club life, guys.
No.
I don't blame him. Like, it's great. He's there along with, like, Fantasmo and Kenta. But if you're, like, Marufuji, you're like, oh, you've got to team with Gedo. And Gedo's putting up the two sweet. You're like, really? Am I really going to be doing this? I could be main eventing. I could be doing this. Bam with Gedo. So he was like, I'm not feeling it. No, too sweet for me.
Marufuji
and Bullet Club would be so weird. And it'd be so out of black. It'd be like, just even him donning the black shirt would just be like, what in the multiverse of wrestling is going on? Like,
no, but can you imagine Marufuji like having to follow someone? You're like, Jay is the leader. Like, imagine him not being the top dog of a faction. He just doesn't, like, it'd be an insult to Marufuji.
But he did tap was in. Surprisingly wholesome about it all as well. Like, he was like, you know, on Instagram and on his backstage comments, like, you know, I was watching Kento and Marufuji team up on Daily Motion like 15, 20 years ago and all this stuff. And he's like, and I get to team with Marufuji. And then he turns on the heel shit and he's like, fuck Marufuji. He didn't want to two-sweet me. Fuck that guy.
Just saw a little Marufuji. Bit of DLP broken out of kayfabe. He's like, I love it. And he's like, oh, I love Marufuji so much. Yeah, but fuck him still. Like, I forgot. I'm going to Cosmo.
And then Marufuji tapped into his Prince Devitt for the Noah show for the Bye Bye Muda by painting his body. So maybe he is going to cross over to the dark side of the Bullet Club.
That Marufuji show, man. Jesus Christ, that main event. Absolutely crazy. Hakushi, living legend. But yeah, carrying on with the Yokohama show, we move into the first, the meet and potatoes, El Desperado versus Yohei. It's a match El Desperado was pushing for a long time. He finally got it. It was the one singles match on the card outside of the LIJ versus Congo one, and El Desperado picked up the win. He came charging out. He didn't make his usual little strut to the ring. He was pumped for this match.
Yeah, I feel like Desperado, since last year, has just been like on a different level. I feel like last year was certainly, obviously, the match he had with Jun Kasai, the death match. Last year. Yeah, and then even the match, the four-way he had just at Wrestle Kingdom recently as well, I just feel like El Desperado is like really showing people why like he's one of the best like juniors in the world, and one of the best wrestlers in that roster, in that Stats New Japan roster. And I feel like this is an excellent performance from him as well. So yeah, like big up Despy every time, because like Despy's one of those guys, you go out, you see Desperado on the card, and it's like he's gonna give you a good match. He's so reliable.
Every single time. And he had the match with John Moxley in Nashville when he put the skews in Moxley's head as well. Yeah. And then when they did the vote for like who's the most popular wrestlers in Japan, he rated very highly. He was like the big surprise of that whole poll they did and how popular he's become. For me, I was a little disappointed by this match because I thought that it was going to be, you know, a very fast-paced junior heavyweight type of matchup. But, you know, El Desperado, he needs a little bit time to get into it because he taps into the fans' emotions, and I just didn't feel this match too much. I don't know if I was disappointed by Yohei's effort, but I felt like you know, Desperado winning was the right move though.
Yeah, I mean, I went into it like because I thought, oh, this is gonna be perfect, because obviously I didn't watch much Noah like previous to like last year, and when I watched Noah, I was like, yeah, Yohei's great. But I do agree with you, SP3. Like, I think we expected something fast, but I guess Despy, compared to the other juniors on the New Japan junior roster, is much slower. So I guess maybe if he'd have had maybe Yohei and Hiromu, we could have seen like something explosive. But I think, yeah, Despy sort of works more when they have longer. And I think for any Despy match, I think 10 minutes is never enough for him to fully... I mean, he did amazing. Like, I'm the biggest Despy fan ever. But I think, yeah, sometimes he needs longer to showcase really just how much he can do and just how good he is. But yeah, I think it was still a great match. Really nice setup for like the rest of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it done what it needed to do. It spot on the card. The second match, it was a proper New Japan versus Noah match. It kind of set the tone for the rest of the card. And then you get into another New Japan versus Noah match. The Hontai side and Master Wato, Taguchi and Tiger Mask, taking the loss to Alejandro, Juntei Miyamaka, and the JHC Junior Heavyweight Champion Amakusa. I mean, I haven't got much to say about this match. It was fine. It was where it was, you know. And New Japan versus Noah, guys.
It was spot food.
We got Master Wato on the card. If anything, that's all it was for me. I got to see Wato and Taguchi. It's a great day. Yeah.
Very much. He's come on leaps and bounds. But now, guys, it's the moment we've all wanted to talk about. It, you know, let's fucking pop off. Togi Makabe, Kazuchika Okada versus Yoshihiki Inamura and Kaito Kiyomiya, aka Okada versus Kiyomiya, in a fist fight, street fight, shoot fight, bar fight, any type of fight. Oh my god, I lost my shit. My poor fiance sleeping in the bedroom. I've got on the TV and I'm shouting out, holy shit, what the fuck? This is incredible. Yeah. Oh my god, I can't go over this.
Yeah, when this match was first announced, I was disappointed because I was like, we're getting another Okada Kiyomiya in a tag match. When are New Japan and Noah finally gonna grow some balls and like really put these two against each other? So when I see Kiyomiya just literally come into the ring and kick Okada's head off and then they get into that scrap, I was like, oh, first of all, I've never seen Okada lose his cool like that. Like, I haven't seen him that rattled since the Tanahashi days. where he was feuding with Tanahashi back in 2015. I haven't seen him that rattled before. So it was like, I was like, wow, Kiyomiya's really gotten under his skin. And it's like, when they were brawling and then Kiyomiya eventually challenged Okada to a singles match, I was like, there's no way they're fucking doing this. You've got the IWGP Heavyweight Champion versus the GHC Champion. And obviously you've got the parallels between Kiyomiya's viewed as like the Okada of Noah in terms of like he's the prodigy. He's the one that's going to, take the company and lead them into a new era. And just even to the point where their hair's similar now. Like they've both got bleached blonde hair.
They're like twins.
Exactly, and the parallels between these two, this is like in Japanese wrestling, like this is like the dream match, and the fact that they set up in the most perfect way possible, like it feels like a heated rivalry, and they communicated so much by doing something very simple as a brawl, and that's the beauty of New Japan and Japanese wrestling, like less is more sometimes. Like a lot of in Western products, you see brawls every other Wednesday or Monday. But you don't really see segments like this in New Japan. And I'm not quite familiar with Noah product, but I'd assume it'd be the same as well. So when two top guys are beating the crap out of each other like this, it means something. And especially for a character like Okada, who's 9 times out of 10 cool, calm and collected, for him to lose his shit like that shows how much Kiyomiya got under his skin. So yeah, incredible stuff.
I don't know about you guys, but that's what really sold it for me was Okada. Like, obviously the kick to the head is vicious as fuck, but it's the fact, like I said, I'd never seen Okada that pissed before. And when he gets Kimi on the floor and outside, those kicks are thudding throughout the Yokohama Arena. They sound vicious. And for a long time, I'm like, is this legit? Like, Okada's fucking pissed. And then Kiyomiya eventually hits the German suplex, and you're like, okay, phew. You wouldn't hit, if you was really in a fight, you're not going to hit a German suplex, guys.
Yeah,
like as lethal as it was, but the whole scrap, just Okada just dumping Kiyomiya on the English announce table, not clearing the table first, and then fucking frying the monitor at him whilst he's on the floor, and then Kiyomiya hitting the best drop kick I think we're going to see all year. Like, again, you're not going to hit a drop kick in a fight. If you could hit a drop kick like that, I'd be tempted to.
Just wait a minute.
Oh my god, that drop kick was he put his foot so far for Okada's face, it took off Makabe's face too. Beautiful.
What I love about this is even after the post match, and Okada was like, don't talk to me, the cameras, and Jay got involved, Jay tweeted about it, and I was like, yeah, if Jay's getting on, he's properly realizing Okada has not been this vicious and this unhinged, you said, probably his Tanahashi feud days. And I'm loving it because people obviously with Okada winning the title again, you've got the few critics who are but Okada's the same person. Is there anything interesting? I've loved Kiyomiya for years. Even before I watched Noah properly, I was watching him and I was I always thought him versus Okada would be the best thing ever. And the fact that they've done it in such, you said, a simple style. They didn't do too much storyline. It was just a simple, brawl. Was just, I'm so excited for the pay-per-view.
A quick question for you guys, How old? I know Kiyomiya is young. I just Googled it. How old do you think he is? Unless one of you knows.
I know he's around my age. He's a year older than me, I think, maybe. Or maybe even the same age.
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, he's the same age as me. I remember thinking, I feel really bad about my life now. Because I've accomplished so much.
I said it on Twitter. I was when I started watching Noah a little bit more after last year's Wrestle Kingdom, and I saw Kiyomiya more and more, and I was he's kind of Okada was 10 years ago. What NK says, they very much are kind of parallels, and I love the story that they built off of last year's Wrestle Kingdom with Noah and NJPW, where Okada kind of just washed Kiyomiya in that match, because Kiyomiya was coming off losing his first GAC Heavyweight Championship. He had the darker hair, and it's very much of a parallel to Okada when he lost the IWGP Heavyweight Championship after his iconic reign, and he went to the red hair, had the balloons. That was the last time I saw a different Okada. I know some people hate that Okada, but I loved it. I loved that he lost the title and he lost his mind, started celebrating, coming to the ring with balloons. But this was the first time in 4 or 5 years that we saw a significant change in Okada and his demeanor. And that's why I would say Kiyomiya was the MVP of this show because he was the antagonizer. With one kick, he gave us an Okada that every fan, whether you're a casual fan or a diehard fan of New Japan, you have probably wanted this out of Okada for so long, and Kiyomiya did it with one kick. That was just such a great angle that just builds off, and I was totally shocked that we're getting this match this soon. That's coming up next month.
We're going to talk about that card, the Keiji Muto Grand Final, because the card is stacked. There's lots of New Japan talent on there. It was kind of hard for me to come back down to just, you know, steady the heartbeat, relax, less, you know, there's another match happening. Like, I'm just, the mind's going, like, Kaito Kiyomiya just kicked Okada's head off into the first row. But then the LIJ Best of Five series against Kongo kicks off. Bushi versus Tadasuke. I've got to say, I Bushi bores me. I feel like he hits the same few moves every match. He doesn't do much. The Bushi entertainment stops once you see his cool mask.
I kind of want to be like a Bushi defender because I always like the Bafia. Do you almost feel like he's given up?
Yeah, like, that's actually very apt. Yeah. Yeah,
he's not going to get a title match, and he's just like, he's here with T-Tan. T-Tan's now the new fresh toy. And it's not like, to be fair, though, I did think at a point he was going to win the match. And then I thought, yeah, and New Japan are not going to let Bushi win, are they? And then they didn't. So I was like, oh, fair enough. They've not.
Anybody in LIJ to eat a pin is Bushi. Every time I see Bushi, whether it be a singles match, it be a six-man tag, I'm like, if LIJ are losing, he's eating the pin, and 9 times out of 10, he eats the pin.
It's the Rick and Morty meme, isn't it? Like, what's your purpose in life? It's to take pinfalls for Los Ingobernables, and he's like, okay. But the reason I kicked it off like that is because I thought Bushi came out here, like, he put on a good performance, better than usual. I felt like, you know, he kind of maybe the occasion, maybe there's a little bit of legitimate rivalry in there. The chops were a bit hit a bit harder. The suicide dive,
and a bit, if you like, felt it, like he was like a lot more, like, not just in his wrestling style, but he was coming out, and I was like, yeah, Bushi, you show that you are not just like the weak link in LIJ, that you are putting on a show and you are deserving of being in this position.
Yeah, exactly. But then he kind of gets punked out because he brings back the mist after it's been before COVID was the last time we saw that. He obviously stopped it for COVID. So that was a big shock and surprise. And then you're like, oh shit, Bushi's gonna win. And then he missed it, the guy he blinded to Dasuke, and he still couldn't even get the free count. Jesus.
That was just like, he put in such a good effort, and I really enjoyed this match, but like that finish was just like, no, Bushi is Bushi. He's still Bushi. It's not gonna, nothing is really.
But New Japan are never gonna let him get a big win like this. Even after the miss, they're gonna like make him lose in like the worst way. And it was like he was so close to winning and then he lost.
That's Bushi. Guy. It is Bushi. And then we get onto, so it's Kongo, a 1-0 up. And then we get into Hiromu Takagi versus Hajime Ohara. This was surprisingly good. Like, I didn't know much about Ohara. And he was such a different style of junior, very technical, but very quick at doing it all. Came in with a big game plan, was, you know, countering everything Hiromu had to offer. I should preface this by saying I think there's some shit about Hajime Ohara as a person. Like, I don't know. He's not the best guy. He's done some not so good things. But I don't know the ins and outs. But in the confines of this match, he won me over.
Yeah, I thought it was, he came in with a solid game plan, just going after the back, with the back and the neck of Hiromu, which is always going to be his soft spot. And then he had one move where he did like kind of like the time bomb too, and it looked like Hiromu's head was about to hit the mat. And I was just like, I got flashbacks because I was in the front row in San Francisco back in 2018 when he versus Dragon Lee. So I was like, okay. He pulled that move.
That'd be bad memories for you. You're like, oh,
I have PTSD. Anytime Hiromu takes any moves to the neck, I have PTSD to that moment being there live. But this was a really strong matchup. I thought it was on pace with the Bushi match and really solid, kind of starting off the best of five series in the right way.
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't, you know, a match that anyone's going to remember further down the line. You know, I think it does speak volumes that Hiromu just went for the time bomb two straight away. He didn't fuck around. That kind of puts Hajime Ohara over in defeat. And then we get on to the heavy boys now. We get Sanada versus Manabu Soya. They were the All-Asia Tag Team Championships once upon a time in All Japan. They've got a lot of history. Manabu Soya is a guy, again, I didn't know much about, but he hit hard. His lariats were fucking awesome. He was taking it to Sanada. And he got the win, which, I think when I done preview shows, I had Sonata to win this one, I think.
I have a confession about Sonata. I used to be a huge Sonata fan, and now I couldn't care less about the guy. I couldn't care less about him.
I feel like it's the other way for most people. Like, they used to not care, and now he's like, they enjoy him.
I couldn't care less about Sonata anymore. It's, I don't know. I just felt like there was a point in time where, like, Sonata was arguably, like, my top three in LIJ. And don't get me wrong, I feel like he's an incredible...
Was he in the top three when there was only, like, three members?
Hey, it was like, it was him, Sonata. It was like, it was like, he was like third because I have a soft spot for Evil. I have a real soft spot for Evil.
So even Evil beat Sonata. That's how
damn.
I have a soft spot for Evil. But I just feel like Sonata was just, I don't know. I've just like grown out of touch with him, and I've accepted the fact that New Japan will never push him the way I want him to be pushed. So it's just like, do you know what? He's always going to be the guy who maybe goes to a G1 Climax final and loses, or goes to a New Japan Cup semi-final.
Like Goto or something. Like, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
He is basically, he's this generation's Goto.
He's Goto. That's exactly what Sonata is. He's always like second place at best. Like, but in regards to the match was great. It was a really enjoyable match. I'm not familiar with a lot of the Noah guys, so like, last year's show and this year's show was probably my first introduction to a lot of these guys. But yeah, like, the match itself was great. And then Sonata losing didn't bother me too tough, because I wanted the Congo and LIJ rivalry to be a lot more competitive, because I was afraid that going into this that New Japan might politic and make it a sweep. And I'm glad that the series was like pretty compelling, isn't it? So yeah.
They weren't even gonna need Keno versus Naito. It was just gonna be like, you've already lost, we're not gonna do that match for you guys. But yeah, and then we get into my personal match of the night. This was the one I was most excited for. Shingo Takagi versus Kazuhiko Nakajima. Two beefy boys. They love to beat people up and get beaten up. You know, the lariats of Shingo versus the kicks of Nakajima. This was awesome. They ruined each other. Nakajima just lighting Shingo up with the best kicks. I will say as well, I was lucky enough to go to the New Year. It's literally called the New Year, isn't it? The Noah show on January 1st. So I was in Budokan to see, you know, Nakamura versus Great Muta, and Nakajima was on the card. He was in a 6-man, 8-man tag, the match that Hiroshi Hase was in. The man's kicks, I'm in the cheap seats. I got a ticket just hours before the show. I'm right in the heavens of Budokan. The man's kicks are reverberating in my ear in the heavens of Budokan. It's unbelievable how strong this man's kicks are. But yeah, this match was awesome. My match of the night, easily.
I liked how much history there was behind it, and like, commentary did a really good job of bringing that into it. Because, for example, like, a few of us said, like, we don't really watch Noah that much. I've watched it bits and pieces, but the way that they told the narrative, I was like, it went from like just an amazing wrestling match to, oh my god, like an amazing wrestling match with so much more behind it. And I think that's probably another reason it was probably, yeah, my favorite match of the night. It was like, when they were both down and you were willing them to get up, you were like, no, it's so much more than just winning this match, so much more than the series between the two factions. It is more personal for Shingo.
Yeah, I think that was what the commentary did a great job of, kind of putting it over, talking about Nakajima was 2-0 against Shingo. And then, yeah, like you said, Nakajima's kicks, man. Every time he hit a kick, it was like Shingo could not respond. Shingo wanted to come back with a hard strike of his own, but there was a couple of times where the referee had to check on him and make sure that he wasn't knocked out, because he was just kicking the crap out of Shingo repeatedly. And I agree with Karen. This was my match of the night. This delivered and then some. Shingo getting the win makes a lot of sense with him getting the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. But Nakajima, he impressed the hell out of me. He impressed me back when he was in the G1 a couple of years ago. But this match here was just like, give me more of Nakajima mixing it up with these New Japan guys. I want to see him versus... I want to see him versus Naito. I want to see him versus all these guys from New Japan.
Yeah.
I think, hang on, NK, that's free... If that's three of us that have said this is our match of the night, is this going to be our first four round of Ace Tekkers agreeing? Have we got another match of the night from NK?
Absolutely. No, this is match of the night for sure. Nakajima is, he's one of the scariest wrestlers in the business today. I feel like, because of, like, it's not just, like, his kicks, which his kicks are phenomenal. It's the look of satisfaction on his face. every time he delivers the kicks.
He's got like a sinister smile, like that sinister type.
Yeah, it's quite sadistic. And every time he was kicking Shingo, and this, he just had this look on his face. And obviously, you know, part of Nakajima's like scariness does come from the fact that he has legit injured some people. And
yeah, sometimes he's knocked out three people in the past year by kicking them.
Yeah.
Accidentally on purpose in the face.
Yeah. So there is that like almost like small fear in the Nakajima match where it's like, is he gonna lose it here and like accidentally injure this person? Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes that added suspense, even though like it's not good to injure people, injure your co-workers, but that added suspense from Nakajima just kind of adds to the match as well, because you don't know like, well, is Shingo actually hurt or is he selling? And it's just like it allows you to like lose yourself in the match. And I remember there was a spot where they were just trading forearm shots, and the sound from like these two trading shots was incredible. Like, this match was brutal. This is exactly what I was looking for. It delivered. And yeah, man, Nakajima was probably like the Noah wrestler I'm most familiar with. But yeah, this match, like when you saw it on paper, you knew it was going to be a banger, and it absolutely delivered. So yeah, no complaints from me.
And then we go into the main event of the night. It's 2-2. It's Tetsuya Naito versus Kenno, the leader of LIJ versus the leader of Congo. The most troll wrestler in the world versus the angriest man in professional wrestling. The build to this was amazing, from the press conference with Kenno screaming in Naito's face and Naito just pretending to sleep. That picture made the cover of Weekly Pro Wrestling in Japan. It's such a ridiculously brilliant front cover for a magazine. You know, LIJ rocked up at a Noah show to get a Congo shirt signed by the gang and all posed for a photo. And then Kenno went to the New Japan shop in Suidobashi, bought some LIJ shirts, said that the quality of the shirts are shit, but they're really expensive, flashing his receipt to prove that he actually bought them. But the match itself, they went for the epic. You know, they were getting close to the time limit. And this really, really delivered everything top to bottom. It was a story match with everything to play for.
I mean, I'm a bit like sad. It's a bit like the Wrestle Kingdom thing that, like, because you had Shingo before the match before, it almost feels like it should have been the match of the night, but it was just like picked it by the other one. Like, similarly with the Wrestle Kingdom, Kenny and Ospreay easily should have been the main event of how good it was. But yeah, it's the contrast of personalities between these two. Like, Naito does, I think, his best work when the person opposite him in the ring is someone that he can wind up. And, like, he did that perfectly by balancing, like, his teasing and stuff. But also just the fact that his style is just so unique to him. And he can just piss people off just by looking at him, just by doing simple things. And that's what got together, and that's what made the match so great.
Yeah, Kenno was somebody that like I'd watched a bit of, but Kenno was hilarious to me. Like the build up, he's one of those people that takes everything so seriously. I was watching the build to these matches. I remember there was a promo where he was complaining about these LIJ guys didn't buy a ticket to Noah shows. They shouldn't even be in the building. And I was just like, and then even during the match here, he kind of stooped to Naito's level, because I remember there was a point in time where he was doing like the signature Naito eye gesture. He was trolling him throughout the match, and I was like, you know, this Kenno guy, like personality and character wise, is so entertaining. But yeah, in terms of like, the in ring work, yeah, it was. Definitely a hard act. Shingo and Nakajima was a hard act to follow, but I felt like these guys, considering everything, they did well, and the match was super entertaining. But yeah, I was most impressed by Kenno's character work. Like, he's somebody I'm definitely going to keep an eye on in the future.
I thought it was a great main event, and I wouldn't even argue with anybody who thought this was the match of the night, because I love how Kenno had everything that Naito usually does scouted. When he did the run to the ropes and does the tranquilo pose, Kenno just gets back in the ring and double stomps him. That was my favorite moment of the match. I was like, why don't more people just do that? When you know he's going to do it, just get back in the ring and just kick the crap out of him. I just loved how he was ready for a lot of it. And then Naito basically had to go into like kind of his Stardust genius kind of repertoire with the Hurricanrana, and had to be more agile to kind of outset that. So I love the storytelling in that. And then also with the time limit, like Karen said, immediately when it hit 25 minutes and he starts raining down the elbows, I had the same thought that Kevin Kelly said on commentary. I was like, this is like G1 Naito just clicked in. It just tapped in. 25 minute call. He was like, okay, I gotta get to work. Work on that neck. Go for the Destino at all costs. And then eventually hits it for the win. So I thought the finish was well done. And I thought overall the match was great.
Hell yeah. The Valencia was brutal. Like, he just seemed to drop Ken O'Reilly's head. He goes straight into the Destino. 1, 2, 3. And we get a loud chant. De Japón. He finally gets to do the roll call. You know, he's got to do it a few times now since the pandemic's lifted. But in an arena this size, the crowd was super up for it. The show is over. He makes his way up the ramp. And who comes into the ring but none other than Keiji Muto himself. He challenges Tetsuya Naito to be his final ever opponent, which leads on to the fact that we're getting Tetsuya Naito versus Keiji Muto in the main event of Tokyo Dome for Keiji Muto's last ever match. I'm really hoping someone does like a deep dive into this, because I'm like, Naito adores Keiji Muto. Like, I think Keiji Muto might be Naito's favorite wrestler. He's certainly one of, if not the biggest reason Naito became a wrestler. So, you know, imagine us growing up and we're watching, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and we get to have their final match ever in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. That's what main event of WrestleMania, The Rock at Wrestle Kingdom. That'd be fucking wild. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. Like, he must be so excited and happy. Like, I'm so happy for Naito to be getting this insane moment.
I mean, 2023 is legit one of the years that you've literally just got everything down. Like, who would have expected Kenny versus Ospreay, Kiyomiya versus Okada. Now you've got Naito versus Keiji Muto for his final match. Like, it's wild, and it's only like the end of January.
I feel like, yeah, just like, well, we're going to touch on probably like the other stuff that New Japan got going on like at the, throughout the rest of the year. But like, what a way to start the year, man. Like, literally, you delivered like a great Wrestle Kingdom, like the last great Wrestle Kingdom since like probably 14, because obviously the two pandemic ones left a bit to be desired. But
do you know what the common thing is there? Is that your boy was at 14 and your boy was at 17. So basically, you know, if I'm gonna be there, it's gonna be good.
You need to go to every Wrestle Kingdom from now on.
Yeah, exactly. I'll start a GoFundMe every year.
It's the Kieran effect. But yeah, and then obviously, like, you know, this New Japan versus Noah show was a massive improvement from last year. We actually have like tangible storylines coming from the show, because my criticism of last year's show was kind of like, the show happened and then nothing. The show didn't feel relevant, because nothing throughout the year of New Japan and Noah even referenced the show, called back to the show. And already, as the show ends, obviously we had a match announced, Keiji Muto versus Tetsuya Naito, but then obviously we have Kiyomiya versus Okada. We have Hiromu versus, remind me of his name, Hiromu's facing
Amakusa.
That's it. We have a lot of there's tangible fallout from this pay-per-view. Which is something that last year's pay-per-view lacked. And yeah, man, like, this is, yeah, Naito, like, retiring Keiji Muto is the stamp his career, is the final piece of, like, Naito's career that he needed. Because I feel like he got his massive title win at Wrestle Kingdom 14. You know, he defeated Okada. What's the next big thing for Naito, personally? You know, retiring his idol. It's just such an achievement personally for Naito to have, you know, retiring Keiji Muto, one of the greatest Japanese wrestlers, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. You have the honor of having his final match. So yeah, man, I couldn't be more excited for Naito, man. And you know, no one else on the roster like deserves it quite as much as Naito. You know, obviously Okada's got his stuff with Kiyomiya, but if you think about like the big stars of New Japan of the modern era, Naito is certainly in the conversation. So for him to have this only makes sense.
And I love how they kind of made, you know, like you said, not a lot of follow-up from Wrestle Kingdom 16 with the New Japan and Noah, but they played on that by this show kind of following up with a lot of the stuff. Because me, myself, I didn't watch anything from that show until the end of the year when I was trying to watch as many, like, of the great matches I missed. I watched the LIJ versus Kongo multi-man matchup, and I watched Muta and Kiyomiya versus Okada and Tanahashi, and they followed up with those two matches on this show with the best of five series with the Okada and Kiyomiya. And I love how this Naito Muta match plays off of the Shoto Aminu and Tetsuya Naito rivalry, where Shoto Aminu became a professional wrestler because of the Stardust Genius Naito, and Naito became a professional wrestler because of Kenji Muda. So it kind of plays off. This whole month of February is kind of a big month for Naito, and all these people who are saying that Naito, what is Naito going to do in 2023 after he lost to Ospreay at the end of 2022? They're in the mud right now because Naito started off the year lining it up. He's got this two big matches coming up. He's going to main event in Sapporo, then he's going to main event in the Tokyo Dome, and he finally pays off what he's been talking about since 2020 when he had his big moment, beat Okada in the Tokyo Dome, but wasn't able to do the rally cry, do the call in the Tokyo Dome. Now he gets to retire his favorite wrestler, the guy that inspired him the most, and do the roll call in the Tokyo Dome with probably Muda by his side doing the roll call. Man, this is like a dream come true for Naito, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the year for him just off of 2 months.
I'm still so fucking bitter about that Kenta stuff, man. Like, you know, like I said, I was in the dome. I was, you know, everyone's on their feet after the Naito win. He finally got that moment, fucking hit the Stardust press, everything. It was perfect. You know, I'm on my feet. Day, how? And then fucking Kenta, man. Fuck that guy. Like, yeah, I love Kenta's an incredible wrestler, but I can never forgive him.
I loved him for that. I just think like that was the point of not like, because obviously Naito is one of my favorite wrestlers, but I feel like just for Kenta to do that at that moment, that literally cements that, like, for me, one of the most charismatic heels, like, because he combines like being a heel, but also he's got so much fun personality, like you see in the post-match comments.
He's such a cheeky bastard.
Yeah, and I just feel like this was the perfect culmination, because like I think before that people were like, oh, Kenta, it's just Kenta, but this, everyone was like, oh,
I'd never seen Kenta be this despised before. Like, after that moment, like, everyone was like, fuck Kenta, like, I hate him so much.
Like, Kenta.
Yeah. How dare you take away
this moment?
Let's run through the Tokyo Dome card. It's another show, we should say, even though there's so much New Japan talent. There's so many people from other shows as well, other promotions, I should say. We'll run through it top to bottom. Opening one's a Noah tag match. And then we get into the second match. It's Gedo and Taiji Ishimori versus Masao, Rongai, and Masada. I think this is Masao's retirement match as well, right? He said.
Yeah.
That's another retirement match in there on the card. And then we really kick up again. We get All Japan versus Noah. Kenta Mihara, Suwama, and Yuma Yogi versus Keno, Katsuki Nakajima, and Manabu Soya. This is one to keep your eyes on. Kenta Miyahara and Katsuhiko Nakajima apparently fucking hate each other. There is legit beef and heat going back from when Miyahara was a trainee in a dojo. Apparently Nakajima, I don't think it's going to come as a shock to say Nakajima wasn't the nicest guy in the dojo when training people. There's some stories out there. I don't know how much is hearsay. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I think this match could be very, very vicious and brutal, but it's cool to see All Japan on the card as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Miyahara going at it with Nakajima as well as Keno. Miyahara is another guy that I've kind of started watching like last year, and he's kind of the guy to watch in All Japan Pro Wrestling. So I'm looking forward to him mixing it up with the Kongo boys.
Yeah, and then we get Dragon Gate enter the mix. We get Dragon Gate versus Noah, Shin Skywalker Kai and Diamante versus Naomichi Marufuji, Hijo Del Wagner and Ninja Mac. I don't imagine we've got too many Dragon Gate fans among the four of us. So we'll move swiftly on, but it's cool to see Dragon Gate there. We'll all get a bit of Dragon Gate exposure in our lives.
I'm a big GCW fan, so I'm just glad to see Ninja Mac on there. Ninja Mac was kind of one of the reasons why I started watching more pro wrestling Noah, because I discovered him in GCW, and then when he made his excursion to Japan, I was like, all right, I got to see him in this bigger atmosphere, because I'm used to seeing him in front of like 20 people in a warehouse for GCW. So to see him in the big arena, hitting the 630s and stuff, and then Shun Skywalker, I actually saw one of the Dragon Gate matches that he was in that I think they got like 4¾ stars from the Wrestling Observer. And I watched that match. He's really talented. And he also has been in GCW lately as well. So I want to see them mix it up.
Next match, another Noah match. Takeshi Sekira, Satoshi Kojima, and Timothy Matcher versus Jake Lee, Jack Morris, and Anthony Green. Have you guys seen what the faction name is for those latter three, the Jake Lee faction?
Are you talking about Jack Boris and Yes, they are named after one of the favorite bits from Boy Meets World. They are named after Eric Matthews' alter ego, good looking guy. When a crime breaks out and the cute girl shout, it's the good looking guy. When there's crime out there, he's gonna comb his hair. He's the good looking guy.
I don't think anyone was expecting a SP3 sing-along on the opening episode of Ace Techers. But yeah, they're called Good Looking Guy. That's an all-nighter match. And then here's one for me and Sanal, I think. She mentioned Tokyo Joshi at the top of the show. TJPW got a very marquee match on this card. It's Miyu Mashita, Yuka Sakazaki, Rika Tatsumi, and Shoko Nakajima taking on Mizuki, Maki Ito, Miyu Watanabe, and Yuki Arai. It's very much the four pillars versus the future. This is a very interesting matchup if you're a TJPW fan.
Like, I've been watching, I think, Tokyo Joshi now for two and a half years, and these are like the wrestlers that just like I love to watch. Like, I think I've said this, like, Yamashita is probably my favorite female wrestler. Like, just like, I can't even say anything else. Like, I love her. But the fact that, like, we've got, like you said, on one side, the people who probably held the company for so long. But then against them, the wrestlers who are really, like, right, like, Mizume is so sweet. And, like, her wrestling has come on so much. And the fact, like, I've loved Noah, like, coming onto Cyberworld with DDT and Tokyo Joshi, because we have seen a lot more of this. And for, like, it's not an offense to anyone, but I know if you ask most wrestling fans, they'll go, oh, Stardom is the premier female Japanese company. And they might not really watch Tokyo Joshi because it's a bit more lighthearted. But I love the fact that these eight wrestlers are going to have the chance to say, yeah, okay, we're a bit of fun. Like, we do some weird stuff. We have some weird matches. But we are amazing female wrestlers, and we should be on the same sort of talking points, discussion points as some of those Stardom wrestlers.
Yeah, SP3NK, have you guys seen much of Tokyo Joshi at all, or watched any? Or
The only wrestler like I'm really familiar with Tokyo Joshi, I'm familiar with, obviously, Maki Ito, due to her time in coming in AEW, and obviously Miyu Yamashita. Miyu Yamashita was kind of the one, like, I was told to, like, tap into her because, like, she's, like,
she's the poster girl for TJPW at the moment.
Aside from those two, I haven't really tapped in, but this would be again a good opportunity to tap in, because I've heard like a lot of good things about Tokyo Joshi Pro in terms of like the match quality and stuff like that. And Sonal makes an amazing point. Like, when people do have discourse about Joshi wrestling in Japan, a lot of the time it does revolve around Stardom, and Stardom are doing amazing things, but like, we shouldn't ever like discount like what other promotions are doing. So like, this will be like a good opportunity for people like me who aren't really tapped in with like the full extent of the TJPW roster to really like find some people I like, and you know, just see like what these women are about.
Yeah, I know of like the Pillars team for sure, with you know, Maki Ito, her time in AEW, and as well, we can't forget she is gang affiliated now. She is a part of the MDK, officially inducted by Nick Gage. Miyu Yamashita, I mean, she's like the ace. She's the ace of Tokyo Joshi Pro, and really, I discovered her from the Wrestle Princess show last year when she went up against my personal favorite Thunder Rosa, and that was a hell of a matchup. And then they had the follow-up match in AEW, and then Yuka Sakazaki is like my personal favorite from Tokyo Joshi Pro with her theme I love her theme song. I love everything about her. Ever since I saw her at AEW Double or Nothing 2019, I've been a huge fan of her. And Nakajima as well, I saw her on the Wrestle Princess show. So all those ladies are very talented, so I'm really excited to see the opposite team and discover what the future for TJPW is going to be.
Well, I need to give some quick love to Miyu Watanabe, because no one's mentioned her, and she's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, Miyu.
Oh, yes, yes. Voice.
She's amazing as well. Like, her theme tune, her, just everything. And she's made, like, her strength is, like,
she ripped. She is deceivingly huge, like, ripped to shit.
Well, probably the same height as me, like, 5'1", 5'2". But she is, like, swinging, like, two female wrestlers. I'm just like, wow.
I was gonna say the best swing this side of Claudio Castagnoli is what.
I mean, on the wrestling website, we did get to ask her some questions. We done an interview, and she said that Claudio's got the better swing, and she's keen to see it in person. But she gave props to Claudio. But no, I actually love Miyu Watanabe. She's my favorite women's wrestler, bar none. But then we get some more New Japan content. NK talked about already. Hiromu Takahashi versus Amakusa, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion versus the GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion. Hiromu's got a title advance against Joe before we get to this show. So, you know, he could not be the champion then. I don't know that's about Amakusa.
Yeah, I agree. It's not going to happen. They're never going to give Yo that singles title, not for a very long time.
We don't know whether both men will still be champion going into this. I think it's a safe bet to assume they will be. But obviously, that raises the question, who wins? Does it go to a draw? What's going to be the case here?
I most likely Hiromu wins, because every time Hiromu's on the paint of the card, it's Hiromu wins, LOL. But but I would love Hiromu to lose this. I feel like Hiromu's super talented. I mean, we understand why he's like the ace of the junior division in New Japan. But I would love to see a shock outcome, because I feel like most people going into this match will be like, yeah, like Hiromu, you know, Hiromu's the biggest star. Hiromu's got something coming up later that we'll talk about later on. But I just think it'll be like a nice change of pace. And obviously it will allow, like, Hiromu losing will allow, again, remind me of his name. I'm terrible with names.
Amakusa.
A lot more exposure for people who like aren't familiar with his work, like me. I'm not that familiar with his work. I've seen glimpses of him here and there, but like, I feel like him picking up a win would do massive things for him and massive things for Noah in general. So, yeah,
I think that's the problem with Noah. Like, we all spoke so highly of Nakajima and Kenno. Their upper card, their heavyweight, stacked. Nakajima, Kenno, Go Shiozaki, Kiyomiya, Fujita, all these awesome guys. You go to the mid card, you go to the undercard, you go to the junior heavyweights. They're not getting much attention or love Western speaking fans in our kind of circles and stuff. So, yeah, it is cool that this match is happening, because Amakusa did look great in the match at Wrestle Kingdom 17 in Yokohama Arena. So him versus Hiromu one-on-one, I'm excited to see more of Amakusa.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's talented, and he's got that high-flying style that the junior heavyweight division kind of needs a little boost in, and it would play into what Hiromu has basically worked out for later in the year, and they can play off of that and have a return match then.
Yeah, and then we go to match 8 on the card. It's a DDT match. Then match 9 is a full Noah match. Then we get into the two top matches we've spoken about already. Kazuchika Okada.
I'm so happy about the DDT match, because I watched DDT as well. And like, again, like, I think after New Japan, like the who's in that match? Because like, I don't think I've properly looked at the
it's
card.
It's Shunma Katsumata, Mao, Toi Kojima, and Yuki Ueno versus Tetsuya Endo, Hideki Okutanai, Yuya Kuroko, and Takeshi Masada. So it's a big 8-man tag match. It's a showcase for them.
Some of my favorites are like Ueno and Mao, love them to pieces. Endo, again, one of my favorite wrestlers. This is what I love about Noah's appearance on like Wrestle Universe and like the cyber thing, because we are now having matches that have Noah, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, and it's for people who literally probably, it's similar to what I'm saying with Joshi, people who think DDT and Tokyo Joshi are just like quite fun, and like obviously some clips do show that DDT is quite lighthearted, and there's like, if you've seen some of the wrestlers and some of the matches, you might have the wrong impression. But the people that they've picked, they know the people who are going to shock crowds and make them go, ah, maybe we'll go and watch a DDT match. Like Tetsuya Endo and Ueno, their feuds, even when Endo was a heel, especially in Damnation, those two, when they are in the ring together, is pure magic. So even like if people watch them two together in the ring, hopefully it's enough for people to go, ah, you know what? I'm going to go to Wrestle Universe. I'm going to subscribe and I'm going to watch some DDT matches.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's definitely a wrong perception about DDT, just because, you know, they put on bangers and their champion at the moment. Noguchi is fucking having an incredible title reign.
And look at some of the DDT alumni as well, people who've come from DDT and killing it in business. Like, you know, the Omegas, the Takeshis, the Ibushis. Like, these are people who've, and I'm sure there's many more people I'm not naming.
Sami Zayn, a few months ago, he put out a tweet saying he wouldn't be the wrestler he was if it wasn't for DDT, showing him all these different styles, how to be entertaining. And then we get to the second to top match of the night, Okada versus Kaito Kiyomiya. likely the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion versus the GHC Heavyweight Champion. It bears mentioning Okada has two title defenses before this match. He's going to be wrestling three high-profile matches in 10 days. He has Shingo February 11. If he defeats Shingo, which more than likely, he defends the title at Battle in the Valley, San Jose, February 18th. And then this match, February 21st, against Kaito Kiyomiya. Kaito Kiyomiya has the one title defense, and it's against, like, Jack Morris or something. It's not a real contender, you know. But this is the match, like, you know, I'm so excited for this. They need to come out guns blazing. I don't want, you know, them to come out and start fucking getting into headlocks and stuff, go for each other, then get into the wrestling. This is,
and give me like a solid amount of time as well. Like, don't try and scrimp on it with other matches. Like, give me the scrimp on other stuff. Give me the full amount of time that I like that we're gonna need to see these two amazing wrestlers with each other. Like, I don't want them to say, oh, but Muto and Naito. Like, no, I want this to have just as much time. Let them showcase why they are the two huge champions in Japanese wrestling.
I think it's going the full 30 minutes. I think it's going to be a draw. It's going to be a draw. If they're both champion, I think that should be the expectation, that this is going to be a draw. But like Gary had said, I want it to be an intense fight for all 30 minutes. I want to see the Okada crossbody over the guardrail. Mm-hmm. I want to see Kiyomiya drop kick Okada's head off again. I want to see all of that. I want to see them brawl around ringside, brawl into the crowd, come back to the ring, and really make it a full 30 minute matchup. That I think this is the first match the whole year that I've heard about or rumored about, or it has been announced, that I feel can be a match of the year contender to contend with Ospreay and Omega from WrestleMania.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, but like, when I saw this match get announced, I was, at first when they were setting it up, I was like, okay, they're probably setting this match up for next year's Noah New Japan show.
Same.
When I literally woke up in the morning, looked at my phone, and saw the graphic, and I said, oh, this is a cool Photoshop. then I see the actual card. I said, there is no way that we're getting this match this far. Wow. New Japan actually doing a match quickly. Wow. That's crazy. But, because normally, go on.
No, go for it. Okay, go on.
Now, I said, normally we'd have to wait 6 months to a year for the payoff of certain, because New Japan are the kings of long-term storytelling. But the fact that we're getting this match is a dream match for sure. People, like I said, my friends who big up Delboy from Wrestling's, like, he's been a huge advocate for Kaito Kiyomiya. He's the guy that's made me watch a few of his matches. And I'm just seeing him. And like I said, the comparison between Kiyomiya and Okada have been there for years. Even during the first Noah and New Japan pay-per-view, where Okada was kind of talking about Noah, and he was like, Kiyomiya, who's that? Like, who is he? So the fact that we're finally getting the payoff to all of that build, and obviously what we saw at this year's show, and we're finally getting this match, and I feel like SP3 said, this could be a match of the year contender. Like, this could be one of the matches of the year because just of how immensely talented these guys are. And to think, like, we spoke about Kiyomiya's age. Okada's barely into his 30s. He's barely into his 30s, and he's already considered, like, one of the greatest of all time. And, you know, this could be another match in the legendary resume of Kazuchika Okada. And this could be, like, the match that really puts Kiyomiya on the map. That's like, no, Kiyomiya is the one. Like, he's not just potential, like, he is the one. So I'm ecstatic. I can't wait.
Can we say that Keiji Muto may be Booker of the Year? Because I know this is a Noah card, but really it's a Keiji Muto card. Like, you know, Noah gets
you've completely lost your thing as any kind of booker. We're gonna, after Keiji Muto retires, we're gonna sack Gedo. He can just do his wrestling and we'll take him. He can do all the booking for New Japan.
This card,
KG Muto, is a great booker when he's not booking himself for the title.
He's probably booking himself. He's not
booking himself for the title.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen in the main event yet. You've got KG Muto versus Tetsuya Naito, the pro wrestling genius versus the Stardust genius. The match, I heard there's a rumored stipulation in that whoever's knees turns to dust first loses. Jesus, like, these two, man, they've got probably like one pair of, like, two good working knees between all four of them. But
you think Keiji Muto tries a moonsault?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes. Please.
He's done it both for one more.
Tanahashi stopped him last time. Tanahashi went, no, get that. There's no Tanahashi. Naito will be egging him on. Naito will be like, come on, then. You show me that you
can. Naito will lay down and be like,
yeah, he'll be like, come on.
He'll be waiting for it. But no, this is an awesome main event. Like, we knew the show was coming. We knew it was going to be Kejimoto's last match. We knew it was in the Tokyo Dome. We didn't know who the opponent was going to be. And I, prior to Wrestle Kingdom 17, I was like, it's probably going to be Okada in my mind. You know, he's going to pick the biggest star he can. I loved it. It sets Naito so much more. But this is going to be, Muto. It's not going to be an amazing match. Obviously, it's not going to be a 5-star classic, but they're going to pull out something special. I think I've got a lot of hope for this.
I think it's going to be all about the story. Like you said, you could have easily had Okada versus Muto and it had the star quality. But with everything of Naito, like how much he admires Keiji Muto, I think in something like an event like this, it's not a Wrestle Kingdom. It's not a huge pay-per-view event in that sense. It is his retirement show. And the story is going to mean so much more. And yeah, if he throws out a moonsault and if Naito's just there like, yeah, just come and do it. I think that might just be enough to cement like people like, oh, no, this is a wrestling match that we should watch just because it's history, if you think about it. We're like watching history in the making.
And then, so that's it. That's all the Noah stuff. That's all the Noah talk. But there's some New Japan stuff still to cover. The first thing I want to touch on is another huge announcement that happened today. The All-Star Junior Festival. Hiromu Takahashi has been talking for a long time about wanting to get all the juniors together. This is going to be a New Japan show for all intents and purposes. It's happening in Korakuen Hall. It's being produced by Hiromu Takahashi. We don't know in terms of what the card will be, who the participants will be, if it's going to be a tournament, if it's going to be one-man tags. What we do know is there's going to be 22 companies represented in this show. They're all from Japan except CMLL making their appearance from Mexico. Guys, I didn't know half of these promotions existed when I read this.
Same. I didn't actually know that you said that there was only CMLL that's not Japanese, because I know I was hoping there'd be people like Michael Oku and people from the UK, but yeah, I didn't realize there was that many promotions in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. You've got, so I'll quickly run through the list. 2AW, 66 Pro Wrestling, All Japan, Big Japan, CMLL, DDT, Tradition, Dragon Gate, Gambare, Leet, Just Up Out, Kyushu, Michinoku, New Japan, Osaka, Pancrase, Basara, Freedoms, Noah, Secret Base, 01, and Ryukyu Dragon Pro Wrestling, with lots of U's in that name. It's going to be, this is cool. What was we just saying? How cool the Tokyo Dome show for Noah is going to be, to get to experience new people, to get to see these Dragon Gate guys. This is this up to 1,000. Like, I'm so excited and interested into who people are going to be sending. They're going to want to show out. They're going to want their promotions to look good. At the moment, there's endless possibilities.
Yeah, I feel like this is exactly what New Japan needed. I feel like the beauty of like peak modern day New Japan was like having the interaction New Japan had with different companies, whether it was the ROHs or whether it was Maro Fuji appearing in the G1 Climax, beating Okada, then challenging him for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. It was always, the beauty about New Japan was, of course, like its homegrown talent, but it was also seeing the talent interact with other people. And I feel like New Japan, like we said, New Japan starting off the year the way they have, obviously with the Noah show, with Wrestle Kingdom, New Japan are on a roll, and big up Hiromu Takahashi for like being the brainchild of this and putting all of this together. And this is going to be an amazing showcase of wrestling, of Japanese wrestling as a whole. And I feel like Japanese wrestling as a whole are firing on all cylinders. Obviously, we've spoken about New Japan, spoken about Noah. Stardom had a great year last year, and a lot more companies like the Dragon Gates, like the Pancrase. I haven't heard Pancrase in years. Like when you spell it, I haven't heard about them in years. Big Japan, like all of these companies getting a platform to showcase their talent. It's only good for the business. And it's like, yeah, I feel like 2023, from the way New Japan, Noah, and these companies have started, is going to be an insane year. And, I feel like we're slowly getting back to the golden days. We're slowly, this is the first major step. They hit Wrestle Kingdom out of the park. They hit New Japan versus Noah out of the park. If this turns out to be a success, boy, like the future is looking very bright.
It's a good time to be a New Japan fan.
It just feels like 2022 was like the year that New Japan really realized that, yo, this collaboration thing kind of works. Like, because I first heard of New Japan due to their partnership with WCW back in like 1995, Starrcade 95. Yeah. Favorite WCW events of all time, and then I started discovering more stuff, them collaborating with WWF back in like 98 92 93, and Hulk Hogan going over there, and then I rediscovered New Japan and became a fan ever since 2014 when they did their partnership with Ring of Honor, and I got to go to Hammerstein Ballroom and watch War of the Worlds and saw the whole Bullet Club there, Shinsuke Nakamura, Hiroshi Tanahashi. But 2022, with first with the Wrestle Kingdom show with Noah, and then arguably, in my opinion, the top two of the three best New Japan shows last year was Forbidden Door with AEW and the Stardom show, Historic Crossover. Mm-hmm. Those two shows just showed, I think, was like the eye-opener for New Japan management to be like, maybe we should do more of this collaboration thing going into 2023. And then when you look at Wrestle Kingdom card with the involvement of, you know, AEW stars, WWE stars, and how it was one of the best Wrestle Kingdoms in quite some time, I think they had that eye-opener even more at that show, and that's why they're going full throttle with this. And I'm really looking forward to this All-Star Junior Festival. And you know, Garrett, my love for Hiromu Takahashi, knowing that he's producing this as well, I know this is going to be a crazy event that a lot of people is going to go out of their way to see.
It's kind of wild they're only doing it in Korakuen Hall, I think, considering, but it's the first of hopefully many. You know, they've called it 2023 specifically, but there's something I gotta get off my chest here. I was gonna tweet about it and I was like, no, I don't want the shit that comes with tweeting something like this. How comes every time something's happening in New Japan, there's always that section of people that's like, yeah, but what about AEW? Mercedes Monet is gonna debut in New Japan. Is she coming to AEW too? Oh, there's an All-Star Junior Festival with all these Japanese promotions. Is anyone from AEW going?
Yeah, I legit, like, I'm probably one of the few people, like, I've said this, like, when people on my videos are like, oh, you're going to watch AEW? Do you watch AEW? And I go, I don't. And every time, like, I ever speak about anything to do with New Japan, you're right. It's always like, but is AEW going to get involved? Like, they're not. It's not everything. Like, yes, they've got a partnership with New Japan. We've seen it. But so have all these other companies. Like, can you not just, like, have what? Like, even on, like, forums like Reddit and stuff, it's always like, oh, AEW. I'm like, chill, just enjoy New Japan, just enjoy the ride that is New Japan.
Yeah. Like, as somebody who's like a big, I'm quite a big AEW fan, but as somebody, like, I do just like the fact that New Japan are being celebrated on their own, and kind of like there, because I feel like in terms of like New Japan needs like the goodwill of the fans. AEW's like been good in terms of like cultivating their fan base and has had a pretty decent run. New Japan's come from like a really tough time. Like, obviously the pandemic hit them hard, and even the booking at times was highly questionable.
Evil was bad.
So I just feel like New Japan need a lot of the goodwill they're receiving, and it's like, listen, AEW, we're gonna get Forbidden Door. Like, it's fine. Like, it's going to happen. Like, AEW New Japan, people, like, I've seen people say, oh my god, this AEW New Japan relationship's falling apart. No, it's not. It's like, we literally had we had Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, we have FTR at Wrestle Kingdom, we're gonna get Forbidden Door. Let New Japan build something of their own. And this is more, and this is the thing. I feel like this event and the Noah New Japan show is very important for Japanese wrestling as a whole. Japan was hit hardest by the pandemic in terms of the Japanese wrestling scene. Like, I feel like the West got to do live shows and got to have crowd interactions way before they did. Heck, like, Wrestle Kingdom was the first like big show in New Japan that had like a fully immersive crowd. So I feel like these Japanese companies collaborating with each other is partly out of necessity too, because they need to regain the audiences that they lost during the pandemic. So like the people saying, hey, what about AEW? This is bigger than AEW. This is about Japanese wrestling like rebuilding itself and regaining the momentum they had in the late 2010s. So yeah, AEW fans, you'll get your time. But if you wanna watch New Japan and wanna see more Japanese wrestlers, this will be a great gateway to watch other products.
Yeah, I think often it's forgotten that, you know, the J in NJPW stands for Japan. You know, that's their home market. They're a Japanese wrestling promotion. You know, they're taking care of their own. Like, it's very much clearly forgotten amongst some fans.
Well, I think yeah, it was like Wrestle Kingdom when Mercedes Moné obviously came, and I was like, oh, but the Japanese fans weren't excited. They weren't like screaming and stuff. And it's like, but that wouldn't have been, they would probably more likely wanted to see the female, like the actual match itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can't expect that the whole world is going to be surrounded by Western wrestling. If they're not going to have a pop for that, there's a reason that's not what they're interested in. Don't go hating on them like, oh, why are they like that?
Exactly what all three of you said. Like, AEW fans just need to relax. Like, I'm an AEW fan since day one. I was watching Being the Elite, and that made me more into like New Japan and Ring of Honor. And I saw the creation of AEW from the outset. And more than anyone, the one dream match that I won in this world, more than anything, and especially after watching the Bye Bye Muda show where Pro Wrestling Noah, I need me Darby Allin versus Hiromu Takahashi in Japan. For sure. I don't need it in the US. I don't need it at Forbidden Door. I need it in Japan, because seeing Darby in that atmosphere with Hiromu and the type of things they will do in like a big arena like Yokohama or Tokyo Dome would be amazing. But I'm not gonna, that's not, should not be the first thing you think of when you have something like an All-Star Junior Festival. I'm gonna discover all these promotions that I don't really hear about. And NK hit it right on the nose, is that all these Japanese promotions have been hit very hard by the pandemic. Outside of Stardom, everybody has kind of decreased from where they were during the pandemic. And this is about bringing everybody up. And I love that New Japan, who could be like the WWE of Japan and be like, oh, all y'all are beneath us. No, they're saying, no, we're gonna pick all of y'all up at the same time. This is great for Japanese professional wrestling, and it's something that I've loved for such a long time. I'm just good with that. I'm not asking for anyone from AEW, because a lot of the people from AEW that I would want to be on, like Ray Phoenix or Pentagon Jr. or Bandito, can't really be on a New Japan show because CMLL, AAA. That's a whole other beast that not that's a lot of people want to recognize.
That's some real gang shit, man. You thought Okada versus Kiyomiya was bad. Jeez. So we're not entirely sure when we're going to do the next recording, but we're going to preview the big matches that are coming up at New Beginning in a couple of weeks. Just to be safe, we're going to cover our bases of the first two big shows. So we got Francesco Akira, TJP, defending their titles against two members of Just Four Guys, Doki and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Guys, I've got a quick little scoop for you here. I'll do my best. You know, I'm lucky enough to be in communication with some people in New Japan. Do you know who came up with the name Just Four Guys?
Please say it was Doki. Please say it was my favorite person in the world, Doki.
I have been told it was Mr. William Ospreay.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, when they were backstage talk, because obviously they had that match at New Year's Dash where it was revealed that Just Four Guys were, you know, that it was revealed Just Four Guys were revealed. Apparently they were talking backstage and Ospreay said, you should just call yourself Just Four Guys. And he didn't think they would go with it. And lo and behold, Tucker gets on the mic and says, Just Four Guys.
You know what? I've seen so much shit from fans about the name, but I kind of think it's perfect.
It's the most amazing name. We've got Just Four Guys and we've got good-looking guys in fucking Noah. It's a brilliant name. But no, I love United Empire as these tag team champions. I've sung their praises everywhere I can. They've made this division better than it's been in years, the junior heavyweight tag team division. But I also have a deep, deep affection for Doki. It's maybe bordering on weird how much I love this little guy.
You've got an obsession with just Doki. I have like an unhealthy obsession with both Doki and Kanemaru. I love Kanemaru so much, like honestly, one of the most underrated wrestlers ever. And I think actually, like before obviously, like the Empire and stuff, was one of the best junior tag wrestlers in New Japan with Desperado. So fact that like Doki has now grown as a wrestler, I think it could, like, as much as I love TJP and Akira as a champion, I wouldn't hate Doki and Kanemaru winning them.
Yeah, that's the thing. I could see them winning, but also I love this idea of TJP and Akira Catch 2-2 going on this incredible run. This would be their fourth defense if they secure this.
In a perfect world, I want Akira and TJP to keep running as the junior heavyweight champions until it's about that time that one of the greatest junior heavyweight tag teams come back, because they already said in an interview they are interested in coming back. Give me Young Bucks versus United Empire. That's what I want in the future. And it plays off of the whole Elite versus United Empire that started last summer. So I want TJP and Akira to continue their run, even though I always enjoy one either Gino on the call or Kevin Kelly Gino on the call saying the Doki Choke, Kevin.
Who do you think's walking away with a win, NK, man?
United Empire, man. For sure. Like, I feel like that they are hot. Like, even their match at Wrestle Kingdom with Leo Rush and Shot was super, like, I wouldn't say slept on, but yeah, like, they had a great match. But obviously, due to the other shenanigans that happened on the show, it was very, like, newsworthy show. It kind of fell under the radar. But yeah, man, I feel like United Empire got some heat behind them. Like, keep it going, man. Like, let's see where it goes. I expect them to have a long title reign this year, to be honest.
That catch 2-2 Leo Rush match as well, obviously, when Leo Rush took the face plant and it busted open all his face. I was told as well that he actually, like, broke the LED lights on the ramp. His face hit so hard, and there was like a little kind of, I can't think of the proper word, not a hole, but there was kind of like a little fall, a little ditch, like a little kind of dent. Yeah, a dent. Yeah, exactly. So everyone else then making their entrance after that match, and that was obviously the opening match of the main card, had to be careful not to trip or get caught in this dent in the LED lights. But that's why his face got fucking busted open. And then we move into the second semi-main event of the night. Just Four Guys versus United Empire carries on. Will Ospreay versus Taichi. You've got Will Ospreay, venom in his veins, coming off the back of a huge loss to Kenny Omega, and Taichi with everything to prove and nothing to lose. This will be a banger. Like, this is going to be a low-key, a really good match that we're going to get to the end of the year and be like, remember, oh, fuck, that was awesome, I think.
Sleeper pick, for sure. I feel like we're going to see a lot more. Like, I want to see where Will Ospreay's character goes after the Omega loss, because obviously the feud was super heated, and then obviously the backstage promo, just like Will doubting himself, like Will was just distraught and broken. And obviously, at the show after Wrestle Kingdom, he was pissed. Like, you can see like the venom, you can see the venom in Will Ospreay, and I feel like he's got a point to prove. But I feel like there might be a small chance of Taichi winning, because I feel like Will Ospreay is going to go for a down period before he rises back up and eventually has a rematch with Omega. But yeah, I don't know. This match, in terms of outcome, is going to be very interesting. But in terms of the work, yeah, it's going to be a banger. It's going to be an absolute banger.
I don't know who walks away with a win saying that, though. SP3, do you, Will Ospreay, I suppose. But yeah, who do you think walks away with a win?
I think Will Ospreay is going to win, and I think it's going to be interesting because Taichi will definitely be the babyface in this match, because Sapporo is his, like, hometown, so he's going to have the crowd behind him and stuff, so I think it's going to be a very interesting atmosphere for this match. But I think Ospreay is going to win here. I do agree with NK, he is going to get a down period, but I think his next loss is probably going to be in the New Japan Cup. He's my pick to have the first round upset. Whoever he's against, he's going to lose to, I think, in the New Japan Cup. But I think he wins here.
Can we make sure we remember that? Because then when the brackets come out and Ospreay's got, like, Jado, like, we need to drag SP3 for that comment. So now, round us out. So now, who's going to win? Will Ospreay or Taichi?
Well, I'm a really big Taichi fan.
Yeah, and you both.
So I'm going to say that my Holy Emperor is going to win, because I don't know. I feel like with this Just Four Guys, we've been saying this for years, like, since, especially with Dangerous Techers and stuff, like, Taichi has been constantly improving. He's been putting on amazing matches. It's less of the shenanigans. And I feel like I feel like if he wins against Ospreay, this might be the year that they're like, right, we're going to elevate Taichi. We're going to give him the chance to properly shine.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point as well, because he is technically a faction leader now. So he's got to be a contender and stuff in, like, you know, maybe a sleeper New Japan Cup winner type deal. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Taichi this year now that he is the leader of his own group. And then we get into the main event.
I hate to beat a dead horse, but, you know, it would have been nice if we had a certain YI Intercontinental title.
He'd be perfect for him, man.
Yeah, but moving on.
Yeah, don't stop making me want to cry, MK. NK, man. Jesus. But yeah, main event of the night, Shota Umino versus Tetsuya Naito. This is another big interesting one. It's a main event. They've been building to it since Shota Umino returned from excursion. You know, we got to see him a lot in the UK. NK would have seen him at Rev Pro shows along with myself.
Yeah.
You know, he was clearly gorging on the Greg sausage rolls because he was a big chubby little guy and he turned it all into fucking, he's lean as shit and looks like a megastar now. I'm hard pushed to think Naito loses here, but Shota's got to win a big match at some point, right? He can't keep losing
every time. I feel like this is before the Keiji Muto match, isn't it?
Yep.
You can't have Naito lose to Shota Umino and then main event Keiji Muto's retirement. You know what I mean? I feel like it's just, it'd be counterproductive. Like, if, for example, Keiji Muto was first and then Shota, I'd be like, yeah, Shota's going to win because we need some momentum for him. But yeah, you can't lose and then main event.
Yeah, and also Shota did like look very triumphant in the Wrestle Kingdom match. So it's like, it's kind of like even though this is a one-on-one match, Shota kind of got his moment against like LIJ. So like, and obviously, yeah, like you can't have Naito lose his match before retiring Keiji Muto. Like, it just, no, it's booking malpractice at that point.
Booking malpractice is a tremendous name for a podcast, by the way. just shit fantasy booking. We should maybe make that a segment on this show. SP3, are you going to take to Unito as well?
Yeah, like the Muto match really changes this because I was really going in thinking that this is going to be Shota Umino's kind of big breakout moment, getting the win in the main event against Tetsuya Naito. But I can't see Naito going into the Tokyo Dome in main event and against his favorite wrestler of all time, losing to the guy who he's his favorite wrestler of all time. No, I think that Naito is going to get the win, but this is going to be kind of like Shota's probably best match, right up there with his two Osprey matches.
So those were the big matches on February 4th. February 5th, the big matches, we got the IWGP tag titles, Bishamon versus TMDK. TMDK were awesome in World Tag League, absolute workhorses, strong contenders for MVP. But this is the first defense for Bishamon. I don't know. So now, who do you think walks away on this? You've got the whole new revitalized TMDK going in strong to this.
Oh, see, the problem with this sort of it, so it's like, do I go with like what should happen and what I want to happen? So like they've always built this up, like TMDK have got so much more experience. They are like, they've been teaming for years in the ring. They are second to none. But I am like, I love Bishamon. I love Goto and Yoshihashi. I love them. They are the strongest together. And it's sort of seen Goto finding, from going from like basically just holding the IC title and winning like tournaments and stuff, he's finally found a place in the tag division with Yoshihashi. And I feel like it'd be awful to have one. I think it'd be awful to have Bishamon lose so quickly, and two, I think that they're going to be building up for Bishamon versus Aussie Open, for Aussie Open to eventually win. I
definitely agree with that. I think Aussie Open is going to be the one to dethrone Bishamon. I think this would be a great moment for TMDK to kind of stand tall with all the gold at the end of the night, but I don't see it happening just here yet, because I feel like Aussie Open versus Bishamon, they traded off wins in the World Tag League, you know, in the tournament, and then the finals with Bishamon winning. So I think they got to even the score, the rubber match between them, where I think Aussie Open is going to finally win those titles. TMDK is going to have a really good matchup here, but I think Bishamon takes it.
Yeah, I would wholly agree, except the fact that TMDK, they've got this new revitalization with Zack Sabre as the leader, with Fujita as like this honorary Young Lion member. It's fucking tremendous at New Year's Dash. But yeah, I agree. I don't think Bishamon will or should lose in their first defense, which makes me sad because I'd love to see TMDK as the champion.
Yeah, for sure. I pretty agree. Yeah.
But then we kick it up a gear, NJPW World TV Championship, Zack Sabre Jr., the future Prime Minister of England, defending his title against Tomohiro Ishii, the first defense of the NJPW World TV Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. has got to have this one in the bag, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Unless New Japan want to like completely throw us off our game and actually give Ishii a title, they can shock us.
I hope not.
I hope not. even though I love Ishii, yeah, like especially if we're gonna give Ishii the title, they should have Ren Narita win in the first place. But this Ishii, Mr. Old Reliable, you know, never puts a foot wrong. If you're looking for somebody to have a banger of a first defense with, it's Tomohiro Ishii, man. And I feel like it's business as usual. Zack Sabre Jr. retains. But like, we're gonna get a great match out of this, so like, yeah, can't complain.
And then it's just the main event of the night in Sapporo. It's Yo versus Hiromu Takahashi, the first title defense for Hiromu coming off of Wrestle Kingdom. I think, yeah, you know, Sanal said it earlier. She's a huge Yo fan, but she doesn't see any hope for him walking away with the gold on this night.
No. It's not happening. The Hiromu needs a long title reign. That's the only thing that's missing from his resume in the junior heavyweight division, is that he's never had the long title reign. They were going to give it to him back in 2018, but like I said, I was there live and had to sit in the front row, see one of my favorite wrestlers, head hit the mat and stuff. So he's got to have a long reign, and I think it's going to build up to Dominion Hiromu versus Kushida once again.
This is what I was saying. Oh, the history there with the quick blowout and everything. Yep. Calls me SP3. Join me for a New Japan episode of Hiromu Takahashi, which you can check out on the Wrestling Podcast Network. Oh man, that would be incredible. That's what I want this to build to as well. Kushida versus Hiromu at Dominion.
Yeah, for sure. Hiromu, there's no chance Hiromu's losing that, like, not this quickly. Like, it's like, there's no chance.
Hiromu, I also feel like Yo doesn't have the momentum either.
He doesn't. He is, yeah. So Yo, when he puts it all together, he's incredible. Like the tag team with Lio Rush, he can be so fucking good, Yo. So it upsets me when he's not. Like, I think he's got all this, everything he needs. He looks great. I love the gear, the move, everything. But just, I don't know, kind of maybe the Sanada thing of, he just doesn't seem to give a shit sometimes, like, you know, back in the day with Sanada. But yeah, that's the big shows. Hopefully by the time we record next, we will actually talk about the matches. They would have happened, and we'll preview the upcoming shows. And I think that can do it for this week. Unless, do we want to talk about Okada's World Cup dreams, aspirations, fucking lunacy?
I think I think you summarized it. They're dreams. They're great dreams. Great dreams. But I don't know. If Okada brings all of this together, we might need him in the United Nations, because the way he's able to pull it in, the way he'll pull off like one of the greatest political maneuvers in wrestling history. But it'd be nice. I feel like what this will materialize into is probably like maybe something like what Hiromu's done with the All-Star Junior League. It might materialize in something like that. But like, it remains to be seen. Like, it's a good dream. It's good ambition. But like, I don't know, to see this happen, highly unlikely. But you know, stranger things have happened in wrestling. So like evil become a double champ.
It's stuff like this happens. You know, all Tanahashi said was the term forbidden door, and then 2 years later it became a pay-per-view. Hiromu said he wanted to bring all the juniors together, and now it's a reality. So we can't just say, you know, maybe it's just the dream that he's gonna talk to Paul Levesque, who loves to please the hardcore wrestling fans, and Tony Khan loves to please everybody, so maybe he can bring it together. What really would have been a dream if he said he was gonna talk to Conan and the leader of CMLL and get them together as well. Then I'm like, oh man, this man needs to be the president of the world, not just a country, the world. He could bring it all together. Shoot.
Yeah, he's crazy. Like Okada did say, it would be interesting to have a World Cup. If necessary, I will speak to Tony Khan and Triple H. It's quite a baller comment to make, you know, just if I need to, I'll approach them. Because, you know, it's fucking Kazuchika Okada. He runs the fucking pro wrestling world at the moment. He's the man on everyone's lips.
He's like, you saw how Tony Khan hugged me? I can convince him of anything.
So that man is obsessed with me. It's creepy. But yeah, no, okay, that will wrap out our first episode of Ace Techers. This has been amazing. This is the first time the four of us have gotten together. We didn't have any pre-ramble. 2 minutes and we fucking hit the record button. This has been a delight. Lots of banter, lots of fun. Well, let's get all our plugs in again. SP3, I'll let you go first and we'll all have a quick nap whilst you run through them.
You're killing me with that. Check out my main YouTube channel, the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Over there, we got a full review of Wrestle Kingdom 17 in Yokohama as well. We did our podcast tribute to Jay Briscoe over there, True Hill Heat 209. So you can check that out. You can see me on the Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast with Rick Uccino, Sports Keto Wrestling, Wrestle Binge YouTube channel with Dutch Mantel and Rick Uccino. And I am somewhere else, it don't matter. All that plugs, go ahead.
NK, hit us with the rest things plugs, man.
Yeah, man, you can find me on rest things. We release weekly podcast episodes on a Friday, and we are currently airing our new series called Break It Down, where we analyze the legacies of some of our favorite wrestlers.
I got to jump in there because you guys had me on the first episode. We, you know, met up in the studio. Me, NK, talking about Tanahashi. It was so much fun. Please check that out on the Rest Things YouTube channel.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, like we've got a load of different content when it comes to podcasting, when it comes to analysis. Yeah, Rest Things, like, the coolest wrestling podcast in the world. So yeah.
100%. And then so now hit us with the Twitters, hit us with the YouTube. You're doing an amazing thing on your YouTube, man. You got so many subscribers. It's awesome.
Thank you. So yeah, you can see me on Sonal's Life. I don't have any strict scheduling, so you might get three in a week, you might get one in like 3 weeks. But I've just posted the final part of my Suzuki-gun history like series, which I didn't think would end so quickly, but yeah, we went from 2019 to 2022, the final match. So yeah, that was sad. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @wrestling_chat for all of my fangirl ramblings.
So for Wrestle In, you can find Wrestle In on Twitter at WrestleIn, INN, wrestling.com. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/WrestleIn. It only costs $1 a month to sign up. Get early access to all the podcasts, all our interviews, an exclusive weekly podcast, Into the Wrestleverse, a bunch of other cool shit. It's only $1 for an entire month. Please give us a rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll be back in 2 weeks. You can find me on Twitter at KieranRH93. Check out all the other podcasts. We touched on Tokyo Joshi a good bit in this. You got Tokyo Joshi Freedom Fighters. We talked about Stardom. We've got Ocean Cyclone Show. If you like wrestling, we've got a show that covers it, man. Check it out. Wrestle In, Wrestle INN. That was Ace Techers. We are Wrestle In, and now we're out.